Well, I've got a great word for you tonight. I want to talk to you about being free. I want to talk to you about being free. Has anybody ever been in bondage before? It's a miserable thing. And we have an enemy. How many know we have an enemy? And he not only wants to get us in bondage, but his desire is to keep us in bondage. How many know you can be saved and be in bondage? How many know this is true? You know, it's interesting because the Bible says, test and see if you're in the faith. Wow, that's a radical thing for the Bible to say. But how many know just because you call yourself a Christian doesn't mean you are a Christian? I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to say that, I had a friend, and when I was at Pastor Bradford's church, and this guy was a younger guy and a pretty good athlete, but a big talker. You ever known a big talker before? And this guy was a big talker, and he found out I played racquetball, and he started telling me, "Man, I'm good at racquetball, Pastor Drew. I'm gonna smoke you. You know what? I probably won't even give you a chance to get a couple points. You know what I mean? I mean, just talking. And I thought, man, I better be on my game. Well, finally, sure enough, the day came around and I got an opportunity to play with him. And I was serious, man. I was the man. I gotta bring my A game. And we started playing. And he is hitting the ball all over the place and falling down and just. So we played the first game, 15-0, I won. Second game, 15-0, I won. The third game, I just thought, oh, I'm going to take it easy, you know, like give him a couple. The third game's 15-4. 15-0, 15-0, 15-4. And the last game, I thought, yeah, I'm going to let him score a little bit. But here's the thing. The next day, he saw me at church, and here's what he said. He said, you know what? He said, it's a good thing that we stopped at three games. And I kind of knew what he was saying. I said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? He said, well, you could see what was happening. You know what I mean? By the third game, I was gaining on you. If we would have played a fourth game, I would have beat you. Wow. I thought I should not have let you even score 4 points. All I'm saying is, how many know talk is cheap? But actions are what shows what's really going on in your heart. Is this good?
Yes.
Actions are showing what's really going on in your heart. So the Bible says, test and see if you're in the faith. Implying that you might not be in the faith. And I'm not saying that to scare you or to intimidate you. I just say that we've got to recognize if Christ really is living inside of us, if we've really accepted Christ, then we're in love with him. And the Bible says that those who love me will keep my commandments. That doesn't mean that we get saved and we get perfect the next day. How many know it's a process? But what I like to say, listen to me very carefully, what I like to say is you better be looking, if your life isn't improving, if there's not, and I'm talking about behavior. Somebody say behavior.
Behavior.
I'm talking about what you do. Not what you say, what you do. If your life isn't, if you're not getting more holy, somebody say holy.
Holy.
If you're not getting more sanctified, if you are living in the same carnality that you were 4, 5, 6 years ago, or even 4, 5, 6 months ago, then you have to have a nice conversation with yourself in the mirror, and you've got to start to examine yourself to see what's going on.
Wow.
Is somebody hearing me?
Yes.
I'm going to get a little detailed, so I want you to catch this. You know what? How many know I am a teacher?
Yes.
So I want to teach you some things. So you have people who come to church, and don't get me wrong, thank God somebody comes to church. You say, yeah, but I'm hooked on pornography. Well, don't stop coming to church. Amen. Notice we don't have any signs. You know what? People who have anger problems, stay out. Is somebody grateful for that? You know what? Somebody who's watched pornography this week, you know, don't come in. No, come in. Amen. Satan's the one who tries to keep you out, tries to intimidate you, say, you know, you got to get it all together. No, you need to come to God. Amen. You need to come to Jesus. You need to listen to the word. Amen. Whatever your issues are, don't allow your issues to keep you from church, but run. Don't run from God, run to God. But there's people who come to church and they're not even saved. They're not even saved. And they're in bondage. Now listen to me. There's other people that come to church and they're saved. But they're still in bondage. I had a friend. Denny was his name. And Denny, how many know Paul has a big heart? So Paul, Denny was homeless, and Denny hung out around here. And Paul told him, we have this small little, just a small little closet. It's got a, you know what, it's got a water heater. It's in the back. And Paul told Denny that he could sleep in the closet. Till I went back there one day and opened up the closet and saw somebody had been smoking back there and lighting a fire back there. And I kind of knew Paul has a big heart. I went to Paul. I said, hey, Denny's sleeping back there. You didn't tell him he could, did you? And Paul said, yeah, I could. He said, what are you thinking? Okay. Here, let me tell you what he's thinking. He's got a big heart. You know what? And just loves people. And Denny was easy to love. Denny was easy to love. So Pastor, what did he do? I invited him to my house. I don't know what I was thinking either. I'm sure I had no idea what I was thinking. But I do know what I was thinking. I think optimistically, and you know what, and Tamara and I have a big heart. Tamara's got a big heart than I do. I'm just telling you. I'm not making that up. I'm just telling you. She is nicer than I am, way nicer than I am. But we invited him into our house. Anyway, I am fully convinced, when I die, I will meet Denny in heaven. Denny will be in heaven. Here's the thing. Denny overdosed. Paul called me one night and said, hey, Denny passed away behind the church, needle in his arm. You know what? So, you know, overdosed on heroin and needle in his arm. Ran right back here. Oh, I don't, you know what? Probably not saved. I mean, and we don't, come on, we don't know. You don't know. You don't know. You don't. We don't know. We think we know, and the Bible tells us we don't know. And don't separate. Don't think you know, you're not the judge. You know, we don't know. You know, but I do believe that Denny absolutely had a tenderness heart for God and was saved. I totally believe that. But Denny was in bondage. Are you catching this? So did you understand the two different people who are in bondage who are not saved, people who are in bondage who are saved? Okay? And I don't know where you're at, but here's, I've got a story to tell you, and we're going to read this story. But we need to get out of bondage. Amen. And what is your bondage? I don't know, and I don't care. I'm not saying I don't care for you. I'm saying I don't need to know. You know what I mean? We're not going to go down the road and say, well, you know, what's your bondage? What's your bondage? That's not the point. Amen. The point is the Holy Spirit is going to teach us tonight and to help us to get out of bondage. Amen. Amen. And maybe you're not as deep as you were 6 months ago, but you still feel that pull. The Bible says, to whatever you submit yourself to that you will be, you know what, it's slave to. Either to righteousness. How many know you can be a slave to righteousness? And that's going to produce some good things in your life. Or a slave to your flesh, and that's going to produce, that's what it produced in Danny's life. Understand, the ultimate goal is to kill, steal, and to destroy. You know what? Satan isn't messing. He absolutely hates men. I believe for a lot of reasons, but one, because man is the crown jewel of God's creation. Amen. And two, life and death is in the power of the tongue, and you have a tongue. I mean, you are a huge, you can wreak havoc to the demonic kingdom if you get in position. Amen. So, let's turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And let's start with verse 16. Now, let me read the story, and then we'll go back and we'll teach on it a little bit. We'll find some good things in it. Acts chapter 16, starting with verse 16. Of course, I'm reading out of the New King James. You can follow me word for word if you don't have that version. Look what it says. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, Notice Paul speaking to the spirit. I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. But when her master saw that their hope for profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude arose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at nighttime, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing that the prison doors were open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Amen. Then they spoke the word of the Lord and all who were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God and all his household. Amen. We'll stop there. Absolutely incredible story, is it not? Somebody say, the stories in the Bible are true. Tell you what, this really happened. The supernatural happens all the time. We just have been so taught in our cynical society that sometimes we don't recognize this story really happened. Want to go over a couple things with you quickly tonight that I believe will be a blessing to you. You know what? About being free. About being free. Number one, people need to be delivered. How many know people need to be delivered? How many know there is a huge, somebody say huge.
Huge.
There is a huge need for Jesus in America.
Amen.
There's a new, how many know there's a huge need for Jesus in California?
Amen.
How many know there's a huge need for Jesus in Pico Rivera?
Yeah.
And how many would testify there's a huge need for Jesus in your house?
Amen.
Someone say, I need Jesus in my house. There's a huge need. People need to be delivered of evil spirits, of alcoholism, of drugs, of pornography, of fear, of anger, of hatred, of worry, of bitterness, of all kinds of insecurities. People need to be delivered. And listen to me. I'm not talking about being, somebody wants to say, well, you know what, a Christian can't be demon possessed. Well, you know what, I would probably agree with you. Actually, the truth is, I would absolutely agree with you that a Christian can't be demon-possessed. But let me tell you what, there's a lot of Christians that are oppressed by demonic. There's a lot of Christians that are in bondage from things that they have. Listen, understand this. Just because, it's why the Bible says, don't forget all his benefits. Just because Christ did it on the cross doesn't mean that we receive it.
How many know there's people right now today, they're walking around and Jesus Christ died, took away all their sin. All their sin has already been bought and paid for, and all they have to do is receive it. Hello? How many people know that sometimes somebody will win a lottery? And they'll be walking around and they'll have that ticket. Maybe they won $58 million, but they don't tell anybody for a while. What are they doing? Many times they're getting some ducks in order, because once it's out, it's out. Amen? How many know there's some other people who might have won a lottery, but they didn't even look at the ticket? Hello? I just read, there was some, a Rembrandt or some, I don't even know this guy, but it's some famous painting they just found in an attic. You know what? Worth something like, or in a closet. They found it in a closet. It's worth $48 million. Wow. How many would like to have a picture in your closet worth $48 million? Somebody go home, see if you got a, maybe you got one in there. Amen. Amen. Can somebody say amen to this? Amen. And don't forget, we have an outdoor expansion project. Come on, somebody say amen to this. You know what's cool about you guys? Here's what I know. Here's what I know. I know that, you know what? If you had a Rembrandt in your closet for $48 million, here's what I know. I know you would be absolutely generous in seeing the kingdom of God built. I know you would. I know you would. But here's all I'm saying is people need to be delivered. People need to be delivered. There's all kinds of insecurities that people have. We need Jesus. And we need Jesus in our house. We need Jesus in our city. We need Jesus in our county, in our state. We need Jesus in America. We need Jesus throughout the world. And what we have to understand, listen to me, what we have to understand is not to prejudge someone and figure out if they're going to accept Jesus or not. Can we stay here for a little bit? You don't want, and all of a sudden you think, oh man, this person is too far gone. Listen, with God, there is no such thing as too far gone. Some of you, if we were judging you, we would have judged you as too far gone. Somebody say amen to this. But see, Jesus is so powerful. His blood is so cleansing that it doesn't make any difference what you did in the past. You know what? I say this almost every single time that we're having communion, because I want you to make sure you understand. Guys, communion is about the blood of Jesus that cleanses you from all unrighteousness. And we have to remind ourselves, no, our past is the past. Amen? Paul said, one thing I do, I don't look at the past. Amen? Spouses, don't remind your spouse about that. See, here's the thing about spouses. You know about, how many know, you don't know my faults like Tamara knows my faults. Hello? Nobody knows. So I want to be careful how I say this. Nobody knows my faults like Tamara knows my faults. But as a spouse, one of your positions is that you are to see through your spouse's faults and speak to the righteousness that God has put inside. See, listen. God, you know what God says about you? God says,
You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, if God can say that about you, you ugly thing. You see me smile? I'm smiling, okay. Right? That's God, amen? That's God, that's a holy God who's never, ever done anything wrong. There's only purity in him. And he has, you know what, the spirituality and the insight and the just the creativeness to speak blessings over your spouse. If he can do that, then what about you doing that? How many like to be told, hey, man, have you been losing some weight? You look way more skinnier than you used to look 4 months ago. How many like to be told that? Amen? How many like to be told, man, what's with your hair? You know what? My nephew told me one time, he says, man, you know, Uncle Drew, your forehead is getting bigger. I say, that's all the brains that are just expanding. How many know when my nephew told me, that didn't make me feel good? Amen? See, we need to understand our positioning as a spouse. We need to understand our positioning on this earth. Our positioning on this earth is not to be a curser. It's to be a blesser. It's not to call the things that are as though they are. It's to call the things that are not as though they were. That's our calling to do. And so when we are not called to be cynical. We are called to be optimistic. Whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is honorable, if there's anything praiseworthy, think on these things. See, that's our calling. So, and if we understand the power of Jesus Christ, we understand this, that there's nobody beyond the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Is this making sense? So, number one, we need to understand people need to be delivered, and we need to understand they can be delivered. Nobody is beyond that. Nobody can't be delivered. Why? Because the power of Jesus Christ is so, his blood is so powerful. You know what? His love is so powerful. His willingness, watch this, his willingness to take our sin upon him. You remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? And he was bleeding. You know what? Drops of blood were coming out of his pores. What's going on? Here's what's going on. Your sin is what's going on. And he's going to pay for your sin. And he knows he's going to pay for your sin. And he has never. He said, you know what? Me and the Father are one. And he's about to be separated from his Father. See, the reason why nobody is beyond redemption is because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Because God died for the whole world. And all anyone has to do is receive Jesus Christ. And where you think they're beyond, and I can think that way too. We all can think that way. But we have to be the most optimistic people. And we should be, because Christ has done it for us. If he'll do it for you, he'll do it for anyone. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we have to understand people. One of the things that I'm praying is going to change in our church, and I'm not trying to be negative, but I am trying to be real, is the level of passion that we have for people who aren't in the family of God. That we would start to have just a crazy love for people who don't know Jesus. And that love, it's one of the things I'm pressing you for, that love would be manifest. How many know you can see things in the spiritual realm? Here, let me prove it to you. Remember when those guys, they came, they had their friend, they carried their friend, came to the house, there's no room in the house. Remember this? No room in the house. Think about this as a story. What do? They get up on the roof and they drop him down. I've meditated on this. How many know they got to get up on the roof? Four guys got to get up on the roof, and then they got to pull the guy up. I'm thinking, how's that happening? You know what I mean? I'm thinking, how many times did they get close to dropping him? I'm thinking, at what point in time does one of these guys say, man, let's just give up. This is stupid. I don't know, because it's not in the text. I don't know. Here's what I know. Here's what I do know, because it's in the text. That when they tear off that roof and drop him down, Jesus said he saw their faith. Well, if you can see faith, you can see love. See, listen to me. I'm pleading with you to fall in love with people who are not in the family of God. And I'm pleading with you, because when you fall in love with people who are not in the family of God, you know what? I won't have to tell you to pass out cards. You won't be able to stop passing out cards. Why am I passing out more cards than I ever did last year? Here's why. Because I'm more in love with people, you know what, who are not in the family of God. Does this make any sense? So, number one, understand, you know what, people need to be delivered. And understand, people can be delivered by the power of God. Number one. Number two, understand the Holy Spirit can bring deliverance. Why? How does that happen? Because he is bigger than all our problems. Don't ever think that God is not bigger than your problems. That is irreverent for you to think that. With God, all things are possible. And so he is able, watch this, he is able to deliver this young lady. She's in bondage. She's been manipulated. These men are controlling her. They are using, you know what? Satan is using her. Satan is deceiving other people with this evil spirit. Somebody says, "Oh, you know what? Yes, you know what? I went to this, you know what, this seance, or this fortune teller, or I just, you know what, it's, you know, I just read my horoscope. Yeah, that's good, horoscope, that's right. It is a horoscope. This is not the Spirit of God. All this stuff is evil. You know what? It's amazing how much of that people dabble in, that call themselves Christians, that go to churches. But I'm telling you, listen to me. somebody, stay away from that stuff. Far, far, far away. You open the door and it just will come in. And once it comes in, it's one thing to invite it in. It's another thing to invite it out. And I'm not saying that through the power of God, you know what, you like this play, that like this, it can, you can be delivered. But I'm saying, who wants that kind of spiritual stuff? Somebody says, oh, yes, but I know it's real. I know it's real. Because let me tell you what, my grandmother, you know what, knew that I had a ring underneath my bed that she gave to me. And who else would know that? And you get tricked. You think, oh, well, that's right. How did anybody else know it? Well, how many know there's demonic stuff, forces going on here that are real? Well, how would they know? Because they saw that. And you know what they do? They come, listen, as an angel of light. What is that teaching us? They mimic. They're fakers. They're liars. They're maskers. I mean, you look at Mormonism and how many people that have led astray. You know, the Book of Mormon was given, supposedly, to Joseph Smith by the angel Moroni. Somebody say an angel. That wasn't an angel. That was a demonic spirit disguised as an angel. Why? Because no angel would add anything to the word of God. Amen. So that familiar, you know what it is? It's called a familiar spirit, and it's familiar with where that ring was given under that bed, and it will mimic your grandmother, and people will be fooled and go, oh my goodness, that's my grandmother coming. That ain't your grandmother. That's a demonic spirit is what it is. And you're thinking, no, it was my grandmother. Oh my goodness. And you don't, and people like this, they have no idea what they're messing with. You were here when Steve said, you know what? I recognized that these spirits were not friendly spirits to me. But how many know that Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit, told that girl to shut up and then cast the demon out of her. And when the demon left her, watch this, when the demon left her, what happened to those moneymakers that were, you know, using her? What happened? The demon left, their profits left. Let's park it here for a little bit. One of the reasons why there's industries that absolutely hate Christians. The pornography industry hates Christians. Why? Because we'll take their profit. Amen? You get some men who aren't, you know what, going to the strip club and not, you know what, watching all this trash, you know, they get delivered, and what happens? You know what? You know what? The spirit leads, the prophet leaves. Amen? The abortion industry absolutely, you know what, hates evangelical Christians. Why? Because we're going to call it what it is. And anyone in the medical profession now knows the science, you know, in 1973, you know what, and even in 1973, people knew that that was a child. But how many know now, it's so evident. One of the laws, one of the simple law that we should pass
and we should pass it in every single state, including California, is that if a woman wants to have an abortion, you know what? At minimum, she needs to see the ultrasound. Well, how come these industries fight that tooth and nail? Think about it, from just a medical position. Isn't the medical position, aren't they authorized, aren't they required to tell you the negative ramifications of a medicine that they're giving to you? Come on, help me preach this. Aren't they told that they have, don't they, by law, isn't there laws in the books? You've heard all the commercials, you know what? Ooh, buy, you know, this medicine, it'll help you here. And then you got to hear all the stuff that it might do to you also. Why is that? Because we got together and said, hey, you might tell us this, but tell us all what's going on. Well, how come we can't tell women who are going to abort that child that there's a great chance they might not never have a child again? Can somebody help me preach this? Is this true? Can we at least, I'm just saying, can we at least tell them the facts? Can we at minimum tell them that? Can we at least tell them there's a high likelihood that they're going to go through some serious, serious, serious mental issues? Can we at least tell them that? Well, no, we can't. Because, you know what? If we tell them the truth, we take the profit out. See, when people get delivered, there's industries that go broke. And they're evil industries. And they need to go broke. Because they're harming people. This young lady needed to be delivered. Watch this. Because not only does she need to be delivered, but you know what? She was hurting people all around her. Deceiving people. You know what? In these, you know what? Fortune telling and all this deception. You know? I've listened to these people on the radio. I've listened to these people on television. And they're very skilled. But one of the things, they manipulate. They say, oh, yes, 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 you have the, yes, yes, I see a young one. Well, who doesn't have young ones? You know what I mean? You either got a nephew or a niece, or you got a son or a daughter, or you got grand. You know what I mean? Yes, I see. And the person, oh yeah, yes, I have three kids. Yes, 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 three kids. Oh my goodness! You know what I mean? Have you noticed it? Watch it. It's crazy. Well, don't watch it. Amen. All I'm saying is, listen. Please understand, these people need to be delivered, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, they can be delivered. Amen? Yes. You know, it's amazing what you can't do everything, but you can do some things. Amen. And some of the things we need to do as Christians is just stand up and say, no. We are not voting for people who are, you know what, continue to support this trash. Amen? Pastor, you shouldn't get political. I'm not getting political. I'm getting spiritual. Amen? Do we live in America? I'm just asking. Do we live in America? Well, Lincoln said, you know what, that our country was understanding the government. Our country, unlike many countries, but our country is different. Our country is by the people, for the people, of the people. This is what our country is. We are the government. Amen. In America. Amen? Do I need to teach you a history lesson? I do. You know why? Because the politicians won't tell you that. People are getting so fed up with voting for a group of people, and then as soon as they get in office, they don't do what they said they were going to do. Is somebody fed up besides me? Just, you know what? And so now, you know what? It's, we're looking beyond what they are throwing at us. Amen? Just give me a good plumber, you know what, who loves Jesus. Amen? Amen? Okay, okay. Praise the Lord. Number three, sometimes the Holy Spirit's deliverance brings trouble. I know sometimes, you know what? You want to stir some things up. Amen? Come on, how many know you're going to stir some things up? Listen, the goal in your life should not be to live a comfortable life. I'm going to say that again. The goal in your life should not to have a comfortable life. You ought to be one of those men, you just stirring stuff up all the time in the name of Jesus. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's deliverance can bring trouble. And that's what took place. Paul delivers this person. And guess what? He's going to get thrown in jail. Amen. See, there's some things that are worth standing up for. And it might cost you something. But understand, you've got to look at it and understand, well, who cares? What are we here for? Oh, I lived a good life, you know what I mean? And you know what? I was a Dodger fan, and you know what? I played golf, and you know what? And you know, I lived in this house, and I drove this car, and you know what? I got you know, four kids and 38 grandkids. Yeah, but did you do anything? Did you make a difference? Could people count on you? Could God count on you? Did you stand up for Jesus Christ in the midst of a crazy, listen to me, in the midst of a crazy, crazy, crazy California? Can we stand up and say there's right and there's wrong and we got to do what's right? Can we not allow these people, because here's what happens, here's what they do. You know, it's right there in the text. They take him, they take them, they throw them in jail. Before that, they have this, that you talk about hate speech right there in the text. They're saying, you know what, these Jews, we're Romans, these Jews. Anti-Semitic. It's going on right now. Listen to me, somebody. It's going on right now. And we better stand up. The Bible says that, you know what, God will bless those who bless them. We need to be blessing, you know what, these people. We just need to. Amen? We don't need to desert them. Oh, man. We don't need to desert them. You know what? Peace at all costs is not peace. Peace at all costs is not peace. You know what? And I'm just telling you, this anti-Semitic stuff, we better stand up for what is right. And we better recognize what's going on right now in our country. Amen. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you ought to know what I'm talking about. Amen? And that's what they said. These Jews. You know, oh, we're like this, but they're like that. Anytime that is, understand what spirit that is. That's a spirit, that's a demonic spirit. I don't care what it's dividing. You know what? Jews and Gentiles, black and white. Oh, they're like this, but we're like this. No, listen. We're all created by God. God loves us, every single one of us.
And this condescension of I'm whatever your group you're part of. It's putrefying to God. And these people who are part of it, they say, yep, and we're going to throw them in jail. They throw them in jail. They whip them. They beat them. You know what? See, isn't it easier just to mind our own business? Isn't it easier not to stand up for the unborn? Isn't it easier to do that? After all, Roe versus Wade has been, you know what, since 1973, you know what, we keep on trying to, but you know what, it's never going to change, never going to change, never going to change. Well, maybe it'll change if we start willing to stand up for some right things. Amen? See, I'm looking for, you know what, God is calling us. God is calling us to stand with the sign on Saturday and to tell the community right here where we live, right here. I'm not talking about your neighbor. I'm not talking about the person sitting next to you. I'm talking about you. Amen. I'm talking about you holding the sign. I'm talking about you giving up 2 hours on Saturday. I'm talking about you praying for people, you know what, who need it. You know what? People go get it. People drive through and you know what? It's not in and out. They ought to be sued for false advertising. It's in and in and in and in and in. Is it not right? And then out. Amen. But you know what? People wait, and you know, it's crazy. That line, it even goes out. I saw it the other day. It's out all the time, out to Whittier Boulevard. They're waiting on Whittier Boulevard for, you know what, for a hamburger. Can I tell you what? If they're willing to do that, and we have it every single Saturday, people will drive in our parking lot and say, can you pray for my marriage? I just lost my job. Can you pray? Can you pray for my you know what? I just found out my teenager's doing drugs. I just found out my teenager's pregnant. I just need you to pray for my marriage. You know what? If they'll go to In-N-Out and buy a hamburger and wait. They'll come through our parking lot. See, can we? Can we? I say we can. I say who? I say you. I say me. I'm as busy as you are. But when we get too busy to help deliver these people, we're going to stir some things up. We're going to stir some things up. When we were out, this happened a couple years ago, but you know what? We were out there. We were holding signs, you know what I mean? Just inviting people to church. And some police officer came by and said, you guys can't be out here. What? Well, what'd you do? Well, I trained the leadership. I said, you know what? You know what? You know, we don't have the argument right there, so we shut it down. Well, Pastor, what did you do? I called the city, and I talked to one of the council persons, and I said, I don't know, but maybe this police officer don't know what he's talking about. Or maybe he does, and I don't know what I'm talking about. What is it? And then I was really quiet. Well, yeah, but what if that stirred something up? Well, what about if it stirred something up? Right. Yeah. Amen? Mm-hmm. See, in Germany, you know what? The people started being emboldened because people wouldn't stand up. And as people wouldn't stand up, they kept on pushing them down. Well, pretty soon, you know what? The anarchy was in control. Amen. I'm just going to call and say, what's up? Oh, no, Pastor. He shouldn't have said that. You just have to stay out of the driveway. I said, we'll be glad to stay out of the driveway. And by the way, we were not in the driveway on Saturday. We've been out there ever since. Amen? See? But can we stand up? Can we be held accountable? Can we watch this? And like God's not going to deliver you. You know what? When we came down here and we started building and we didn't have hardly any money, we didn't have hardly any people, but we had a heart to see the community changed. And we did everything we could, you know what, to renovate this building. And the Holy Spirit spoke to us. At that time, we were living in an apartment. The Holy Spirit spoke to us and said, listen, you take care of my house, and I'll take care of your house. And God has been faithful. Oh, he's been so faithful to Tamara and I. Can we have a heart for people that are broken? For people that are possessed by the demonic? Some of them, actually demons living inside their body. Some of them just terrorized by fear. Pastor, who's got the answer? You got the answer. And I have the answer. His name is Jesus. But we have to be willing to stand up for righteousness. We have to be willing to not, we have to be willing to be inconvenienced. Like Paul was inconvenienced. Like these men were inconvenienced. But I tell you what, how many want a supernatural story? Paul was inconvenienced, you know what? But he also had a supernatural story, did he not? Father, we thank you for every person that's here today. May the word inspire them tonight. May they be inspired. May we grow tenderhearted for people who are in bondage. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.